Speak, O Lord, your servants heareth. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson, the first reading, is taken from the book of Genesis, 45th chapter, and it's a continuation of this long saga that begins back in chapter 15, where the promise comes to Abraham, you're going to have offspring that'll be greater than the sands of the sea, and that the whole earth will be blessed through you. That is, all peoples, not just your people, but all people will be blessed through you. And then we read, the story goes on, it starts with Abraham and Sarah, and then picks up with Isaac and Jacob and finally Joseph. And each part of the saga, each part of the story ends with a threat that the lineage that goes back to Abraham and Sarah is going to die out. There are circumstances that are so greatly opposed to the continuation of this family line that the promise is going to be seen as basically a failed promise that could not be lived up to. And so now we come all the way to the end of the book of Genesis, and this does look like it's it. There is a terrible famine, and for 7 years, and the family of Jacob up in Palestine, they're running out of food, and eventually they run out of food. Fortunately, one of the brothers, a kind of, can I say this in church, snot-nosed? Just kind of a brat, really. Not a brat in the way you think, but just somebody so full of himself, nobody wants to be around him. He ends up being sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers. And once he's in Egypt, he discovers he has this great gift for interpreting dreams and reading the heavens, and he warns the Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of want, and it's going to be terrible. And so the Pharaoh is astonished by this revelation, and he makes Joseph the head of the whole country, just slightly beneath the Pharaoh in terms of power and authority. And in this new position that Joseph is in, he now can store up grain for 7 years, and for 7 years, when there is no grain, people from all around the Nile Basin will come down and will get food and will survive. And so Joseph is now in this position of enabling his family, whom he hasn't seen for decades. They're up in Palestine, Joseph's down in Egypt, and they're running out of food. And finally they say, we hear there's food in Egypt, go down there and get some, says Jacob, the patriarch. So the brothers go down, you know the story, the brothers go down. Joseph recognizes them. They don't recognize him. He doesn't look like a slave anymore. He doesn't look like the bratty brother anymore. He's now the most powerful person in all of Egypt, just beneath the Pharaoh himself. So they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. Now I have to tell you a personal story. A number of years ago, quite a few years ago, in the early 70s, I was running a youth program up in New Hampshire, and on one of the days, the main teacher, who was supposed to teach the Joseph story, got sick and couldn't be there. And so at the last minute, I said, well, I'll step in, I'll do it. And there was no time to prepare, so what I thought I would do was just do a kind of dramatic reading of the story of Joseph, because you don't have to really do very much. It's dramatic all by itself. And so I started reading. And pretty soon, I'm starting to get choked up. And pretty soon I'm starting to cry. And I have no idea why. And I'm just trying to get hold of myself. I'm trying to, stop myself from crying because I feel foolish. And I can't stop. Finished the story and I went back to my quarters and was just bewildered. Well, life went on, as it does. And several times over the next decade, I read this story to myself. And each time I read it, I cried. I could barely finish the story. And I never understood why. And so I would go back and I'd read it again a couple years later to find, you know, what is happening? And after a long time, it became clear to me what was going on. My brothers didn't sell me into slavery. I just have a sister and a half-brother. But I had a mother and a stepfather who did everything they could to keep me from my biological father. I barely knew him. The last time I saw him, I was like 5. And I missed him terribly. And I began to realize that the reason I couldn't read this story was because it's a similar story. It's some family members preventing another family member from being in touch with his father. And the pain was really pretty awful. For years, I would crawl under my covers at night and I would cry, missing my father. But it was more than that. I realized it was more than that. And what it was a matter of forgiveness. I had not been able to forgive my mother and stepfather for what they'd done. And this story, it's two stories. It's a story of providence, how God works in the world and works through each of us. That's the most wonderful part of the story. The other part of the story is forgiveness, where Joseph says he can no longer control himself for all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Get everyone out of here." And he's now with his brothers alone, and they still don't know who he is. And they're terrified because he can have them killed. And he starts to cry. And he cries so loudly, the people in the next building hear him, and the next building, and all the way to Pharaoh's house. He's crying so loudly. And he says to his brothers, "I am Joseph, who you sold into slavery." Now, think of yourself in that position. He now reveals himself to you, and you committed a terrible crime, a terrible crime. And what I realized as I began to study this passage further is that I had a tendency and to want to be nice. And most of the people, you know, I grew up among Swedes, and nobody was more nauseatingly nice than the Swedes. And Norwegians are the same. Danes, they're all the same. They're all up there. They're all so nice. Everybody is nice. If you go to the Midwest, you know the Midwest. If you go to the Midwest, everybody's nice. And I wanted to be nice too. And so to be nice meant you would overlook wrongs that were done you. Of course, in reality, you nurtured those wrongs. I would hang on to those wrongs. But pretend, "Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. It's all right." The Joseph story, it's not all right. Joseph, when they fall on their knees, they say, "We're so sorry. We just don't even know what to say." And Joseph doesn't let them off the hook. He doesn't say, "It's okay." He acknowledges the fact that they did wrong, something so terribly wrong, it's inconceivable, to sell your family member into slavery in Egypt. It's not much better now. Imagine what it was like then. He doesn't let them off the hook, but he forgives them. It's kind of odd, isn't it? He doesn't let them off the hook. He doesn't say, "Oh, it's okay. What you did was wrong, and I forgive you." That was the piece that I was missing, that I had not been able to forgive my mother and father, stepfather. It was too painful to forgive. It took me many years. And I'm glad to say that I was able to forgive my stepfather. It was very difficult, but I did. But I'm sad to say I was not able to forgive my mother. And she died before I had a chance to do so. I said there are kind of two themes in this first reading. One is the story of forgiveness. The other is the story of providence. That is, how does God work in the world? And how does God work in us? There's a passage in our text today that says, you meant it for evil, my dear brothers. You meant to do evil to me, and you did. But God meant it for good. Now, if you go back over the history of Christian preaching, which is very instructive, preachers really need to do it to see where the gospel changes and through the many centuries. And you go through the history of Christian preaching, you find that very often, almost always, this passage, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, gets interpreted as God really planned it this way. And you were just willing pawns of God's decision to get somebody down into where the food was so the promise could go on. And so that everybody is simply being used and manipulated by God. And more than that, think of the suffering that young man went through. To be cast into a pit, to be told he's going to be killed, and that his lustrous coat that his father made him is going to be drenched with the blood of a wild animal. And he gets sold into slavery and gets put into prison. God chose all of that? Did God really plan that Joseph would suffer? Was that God's intention? So much of preaching has said, yes, that God works through all manners of conditions. And in this case, God sent Joseph down to Egypt. Well, we have to say, first of all, that's not what the text says. It's what we read into the text, because we want to make sure that God is in charge, and that if God is in charge, it's always going to be all right. Well, it's not always going to be all right, but sometimes it's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. And there's going to be guilt everywhere, that more than can be shared with a whole race of people. That there can be such evil done in the world. But that doesn't mean that God caused the evil. To say this, in all things, God works for good. Do you know where that comes from? It's from the book of Romans. The eighth chapter, in all things God works for good. And in this story, God doesn't cause Joseph's suffering. But no matter how bad it is, God is able to work through it. Enable Joseph to survive, and not only survive, but to flourish. And that's what he does. And our story today can be similar. Do you know that every single moment of your day, of your waking life, God is speaking to you? God is never silent. God is speaking always to us. In every circumstance of our life, God is speaking to us. Do we hear God? Sometimes. But sometimes we have our hands over our ears. Sometimes we're too busy with all the other things we're doing. Sometimes we're just not really interested in what God has to say. But God continues to speak. And when we say, no, God, God continues to speak. And even when we say no, God says yes to us. That there is no circumstance, there is no no loud enough that we can make that can turn God away from us. God is always oriented toward us in generosity, in compassion, in love, because that's who God is. And when we experience, and when our eyes are open, our ears are open, our mind is open, our hearts are open, and we experience the presence of God in our midst, in our life, then at that moment, we are then capable of forgiving, even when we couldn't forgive before. We then become capable of living lives of compassion and love and generosity. In our hymn that we sang this morning, the whole sermon can be combined and just compressed into this line in the hymn that we sang, 135, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. Manifest in gracious, God is manifest in gracious will, ever bringing good from ill. He doesn't cause the ill, but he's able to bring good out of it. That's a big difference between the two. In your life, God is speaking. Every minute, God is speaking to you, calling you to some act, some place, some duty, some joy. God is calling you. May you and I hear God's voice as Joseph did and respond through Jesus Christ. Amen.